up with the beautiful snow. So, be welcome. These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sore, till we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as white in the world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 We look forward to what you're bringing us, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Good morning, everyone. You enjoying the sunshine and the winter atmosphere? I guess we got to enjoy it. It'll be gone this week. You know, it gets up to 50. So, welcome to Ohio. It's good to see you all. You can have a seat if you want. My name is Eric Byram. I'm one of the pastoral elders here at Grace Fellowship Church. Just want to welcome you. I like to take some time. I don't know how many of you, where you're at as you come in here, but sometimes I'm not always ready for worship. Does anyone ever feel like that? Yeah? Okay. So let's just take a moment. I'd just like for you to just close your eyes. Just take a deep breath. Calm yourself down. Just sit in the presence of the Lord. And just picture
thing that matters to me. The only one whose favor I seek. The only name that matters to me. Yours will be the friendship and affection I need to feel my Father smiling on me. The only name that matters to me. Yours is the name that saved me. Mercy and grace, the power that forgave me. And your love is all I ever needed. Yours will be the only name that matters to me. The only one whose favor I seek. The only name that matters to me. Yours is the name that saved me. Mercy and grace, the power that forgave me. And your love is all I've ever needed. When I wake up in the land of glory, and with the saints I will tell my story. There will be one name that I proclaim. When I wake up in the land of glory, and with the saints I will tell my story. There will be one day that I proclaim. La 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 la. Just that name. When I wake up in the land of glory, and with the saints I will tell my story. There will be one name that I proclaim. When I wake up in the land of glory, and with the saints I will tell my story. There will be one day that I proclaim. La 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 la. Jesus, Jesus, just that name. Jesus, Jesus, just that name. Thank you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. We live for you. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you, we live for you. And holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Breath.
last time I went. Yeah. I have a story. This past fall, my brother, who is in the Army, was getting promoted, and they asked us to, he asked us to come out for their ceremony. Or some might succeed in opening the door to the president's office so that you might see him. The priest smiled a triumphant smile, and he felt like he had resolved the argument soundly. And then Donald said to him, imagine if I was the president's son. And I get up in the morning, I have breakfast with him, I give him a kiss, he goes off to work. And then I go into work, and I try to get access to him through the Minister of the Interior and all these others. Would that not be foolishness? Because I am the president's son. I can go right to the president. I don't need to go through all these others. And it kind of dawned on the priest, you know, you and I, when we are adopted into God's family via Jesus Christ, because you and I are in Christ, we are called sons of God. We don't need to go through others. Good to share with other brothers and sisters your prayer needs. We are to pray for one another. But you don't have to talk to me to advocate to God on your behalf. You have perfect authority as a son or daughter of the King to come directly before Him. Do you realize the better priesthood that Jesus offers you? Have you taken advantage of that? So, not only does Jesus give us a better priesthood. Secondly, trust in Jesus for your perfect access to God because He gave us a better hope. A better hope. Verses 15 and 19. If you have your Bible open, turn to that. And the author there begins to unpack that. And I love in verse 19, he says, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God. A better hope. Consider the hope of the old system under the Levites. Your hope lies in your own ability to be obedient and to trust in the obedience of the human priests who are only able to come before God in a very limited manner. I love this. I got another illustration here. This one writer writes this. He says, the law, therefore, is not unprofitable in the sense that it has no use at all, but in the sense that obeying it does not provide any ultimate eternal rewards. The law is used to condemn, but it can never be used to save. For effecting salvation, the law is unprofitable. If our hope is in the law and in our keeping of it, then our hope is tenuous at best. Who here keeps the law in its entirety? That the rich young ruler who came for Jesus, he said, all these things I've done. And Jesus said, well, sell everything you have and give to the poor. And he went away sad, right? I love how the Sermon on the Mount ups the ante of the law, right? The Pharisees kind of felt like, well, I don't commit adultery. And Jesus said, well, if you look at a woman lustfully, you've done that. Well, I don't commit murder. Well, if you've told your brother he's a fool, you've pretty much committed murder. So I love how the Sermon on the Mount just elevates that. And it makes all of us realize, but maybe you say this morning. I'm here because someone else made me come. Maybe I'm a youth or whatever. And Eric, I don't even believe in God. The law doesn't matter to me anyway. So I would ask you, how do you justify yourself in your existence? Let me rephrase it this way. How do you show that you are a good, trustworthy person, worthy of respect and trust? If you don't rely on God's law, you will make your own. Imagine if each one of us had a recording device on us that recorded everything we said and did, and then we were held accountable from that recording to the standards on which we put on everyone else. How would we do? Plead the fifth, right? So, even in the world, those who throw out God's law, they do make some has been set aside or canceled because of its weakness and uselessness. You may say, well, that's so rude. How could you say that of the old covenant? That's what Hebrews 20 through 22 is saying right now. And I love how it explains this, because you might say, why would God ever bring about something weak and useless? What does that mean? Okay, so let's go on. In the sense that it was incompetent to effect the justification of sinners before God. The law is a principle of life only to the man who fulfills the righteousness it prescribes. But to the lawbreaker, it becomes an instrument of death. And the human predicament is precisely that of the lawbreaker. Hence, the addition of the explanatory comment that the law made nothing perfect. It must be understood, then, that the law is ineffective only in relation to sinful mankind, and that the deficiency is located in sinful mankind rather than in the law. For in itself, as Paul insists, the law is holy and spiritual. It is, after all, God's law. The author of Hebrews' primary concern, however, is with the part of the law, a former commandment, which prescribed and controlled the sacrificial system, but which, though fitted to make man deeply conscious of his sinfulness and alienation and of his need for forgiveness, was not competent to keep him from sinning or to achieve a state of permanent reconciliation between him and God. It was not meant to do that. Think about that. A car is not meant to fly. Some have tried, and usually that does not go well. Drive a car off a cliff and you will see. Now don't say, oh, Eric told me to drive off this cliff. Mom, that's why I did it. No, but a car was not meant to fly. The law was not meant to reconcile you and I to God. So we can't put on it what it was not meant to do. What's interesting is that God's new covenant in Jesus was meant to reconcile. And what's interesting about this covenant is it's a covenant, it's a one-way covenant in many ways, because it's not dependent on yours and my performance. Our performance is laid aside because we are placed in Christ, who has the perfect performance. He has kept the law perfectly. So because we choose and accept him as our Savior, we are in Christ and able to be saved because of what he has done. We get all the benefits of Jesus keeping the covenant. It may not seem fair, but it is transformative. I love how Greg said that today, praying that we would be transformed. The old covenant required us to perform perfectly to get the benefits. It always made us aware of our not performing perfectly, and more often than that, may have led us to despair. My question for you today, Grace Fellowship, is, are you still relying on your performance or the performance of another one who has done it perfectly? Do you rely on Jesus and trust in him to give you perfect access to God? One of the key words in Hebrews is the word better. I encourage you to read through, if you have time to read through that whole book of Hebrews, look for that word better. Highlight that word better. Are you going after the better things that Jesus offers? Are you realizing the things that Jesus is better than? He offers a better priesthood that actually allows you and I perfect access to God. He offers a better hope that rests in grace and transforms us into perfect sons and daughters of the living God. He offers us a better covenant.